Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dog Pound with K9 Boxing. We have a great show in store for everyone tonight. We're going to have the 1984 gold medal Olympics, Mr. Frank Tate, along with Miss Selena Barrios. She just won her last fight a couple weeks ago, and we will be having her back on the show, along with one of my fellow journalist and much respected Mr. Percy Crawford from Fight Hype. So let's get this show on the road. K9, what's going on tonight, my man?
How you doing?
Hey, doing all right, doing great. Getting Mr. Tate in here and trying to get this show on the road tonight. How's everything up there in the city of Detroit?
Man, listen, man, it just keep raining, man, like we about to get that North Carolina rain, boy. It's coming down like cats and dogs. For real, but other than that, it's all good, man. Hanging in there. Just left the gym, as usual, getting that work in, me and my son. You know, he's getting ready for that qualifier. It's October the 6th. So, you know, he's putting that good work in, man. I'm proud of him.
Oh, okay. Well, we do have Mr. Tate on the line. Mr. Tate, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, sir.
Tate the Great, what's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up? What's up? How you doing?
Man, I'm good, my guy.
Yeah, how's everything going down in the city?
Man, everything going good in the city, man. I just need to borrow that gold medal, that's all.
Put a lot of work in for that gold medal. It's hard to get that medal over.
How's
right.
You
doing?
I just want to borrow it. That's all. Add it to my trophy.
You were there. That. It's no problem.
Okay. All right. There you go. My God. Yeah. What you been up to, man? What you been doing?
Oh well, I've just been working with kids and in and out the gym and doing a little demolition here and there. You know, having my own company. I've been, you know, trying to keep that going too, and you know, just living my life, enjoying myself.
That's good, man. That's real good.
Yeah,
that's good, man. Them kids, listen, they need a voice back. So anybody
yes,
can give them
yes,
a voice,
yes,
it's definitely
yes.
you don't saw both sides. You done been at the top in the Olympics, amateur level
mm-hmm.
and a pro level. I mean, wow, that's some good
right,
stuff.
Right, yeah.
And
you
want
to
go
there? Everything is positive when you have a good woman behind you. You know, I got married.
Oh, you
got to
get that credit.
Oh,
yeah.
Got to give
us credit.
Oh, yeah. Since May the 3rd. But I've been knowing her. She was my sweetheart in high school.
Oh, wow. That's wow.
Yeah. When I went to the Olympics, she went to the Army. And finally just made it happen.
That's good. Tell her thanks for, you know, letting us borrow you for the night.
Okay. So thanks for letting me borrow you for the night.
Frank, you wanted a gold medal in
1984, the baddest Olympic team ever.
You heard that, James? The baddest team ever.
That's right. I mean, 76 was good. We had Holyfield, Mark Breeden, Pinnell, Elder Taylor, Jerry Page, Steve McCurry, Evander Holyfield, Henry Tillman, Terrell Biggs.
Oh, hands down, y'all was the best ever.
I ain't forget nobody. And I'm Shannon, Robert Shannon.
Oh,
Paul
wow.
Gonzalez does too. Yeah. So wow. We got 9 gold medals in the Olympics.
Hey, James, was that the best team ever? 1984? Gold medals? Gold medals?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I would say that is probably the last greatest Olympic boxing team that we've had.
Hey, well, was they better than the Dream Team? The NBA. Was they better than the NBA Dream Team with Michael Jordan?
Well, I would say only discussion they have about that is just Cuba and Russia this year. But like I tell everybody, we beat them. I beat the number one Russian, the number one Cuban. So my biggest fight was the Canadian. You know.
Okay.
He beat the Cuban and the Russian too. So my biggest fight was Sean O'Sullivan. And that's what everybody was there to see, and you know what happened.
Okay. Hey, so you took the gold medal and then you left Detroit and went to Houston. Why you leaving?
Well, I didn't get treated right. A lot of things was said that a lot of people didn't know about it. You know, it was the offering wasn't there, so you know, I just had to go, man, you know.
No,
when you get
that
boxing ring, you got to take care of yourself. Because when it's over with, you got to have life after boxing. You still got to live.
Exactly. So when you went
watch somebody live better than you, and you the one was in the ring.
That's true. That is absolutely
that
true.
That don't make sense.
Now, man, that's going on to this day. A whole lot of that going
yes,
on to this
sir.
Day.
That don't make sense. You know, and then I just went to an organization this past weekend in New York. It's called Rain Team. And what this organization is doing for boxers, the WBA, the IBF, the WBC ought to be doing. These guys, like when fighters get down on their luck, they send them money. They help them out. They pay their rent. You know, it's called Rain Team. And these organizations and promoters, none of them guys doing nothing for these fighters. For example, Gerald McCullough. Look what he went through when he fought over there for the title against Nigel Bill.
Yeah,
still hospitalized. It's changed his sister's life. And this organization has been sending him money ever since. They haven't had a problem. She was there. She told the whole story.
That's
you know,
amazing.
And they grossed like $67,000 this past weekend, and all of it's going toward boxes. Nobody in the organization get paid. His doctors, a lawyer, nobody get income for that money. It all goes out back to boxes.
I love that, man. You need to shout that out. How can they find that? You know, I mean, is it a link to that?
We're trying to take it all over the world, man. I'm trying to get with the guy. I'm talking to him. It's best to have all these cities have something that's called Rain 10. Look it up. It's right there, Rain 10. Just
hey, James,
you
hear that?
Man.
Rain 10.
10. You know, like the number, 10 rounds.
It's Rain 10.
Ring 10.
I like Ring 10.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, when did you hear about this?
Well, they called me up, and that's when I come down. I got to see fighters I haven't seen in 30-something years. Roberto Duran was there. Larry Holmes was there. Jerry Coney was there. Vinny Paziana. You know, Mark Breen. Jerry Page, two of my Olympic teammates were there. You know, they had a bunch of fighters there. So, you know, I was like, wow.
Wow.
Very interesting, man. And what they do for fighters, you know, for example, Wilfredo Benitez is down on his luck. So they finna go over there and start some new money.
Scully takes money regularly over to him in Puerto Rico.
Scully, that's his daughter, Scully. I was sitting right next to Scully. He got out of two. What did he get? He got a war too. I forgot Scully was
Scully does our Sunday show along with Lyman Brewster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scully was there, matter of fact. John Scully.
Oh, wow. That's good, man. I'm happy to hear that, man.
Good guys.
Yeah. People need to be talking about this more often. Huh? Nobody talk about the good in boxing. This is real
good.
Well, you know, we
always forget people still have to live after their career.
Absolutely.
Everybody don't get a chance to become world champion and be successful about it and go on with their life. Some guys fall down from there.
That's right.
And it's the truth.
Hashtag
so this organization, for what they're doing, is great. You know,
yes.
I'm all in for something like that because, you know, like I said, we pay these association fees when we fight. These people make money.
That's right. That's right. That's
look
right.
How many fighters
right.
fight and they get all them association fees? Floyd Mayweather stopped paying him. He said, I'm not paying y'all no more. I don't need your belts.
Exactly.
You know, he got smart.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, now these guys don't done for done these fighters. You know, they had these WBC conventions and all that, but they never have where they give nobody money and say, huh, here's, how's this fighter doing? Well, how's this person doing? Can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? No. This organization, Ring 10, is doing that. They're stepping up to the plate.
Man, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
gets paid from none of the money they generate. Nobody.
Right. Yeah, you need to text me that. After we get on the phone, text me that. Ring 10. I'm going to look them up, man, because that's brilliant.
I just left
K9, I'm surprised that you haven't heard about Ring 10 when all of the New York writers are mostly a part of it. Steve Smoger, Bob Arum. I mean, all these guys, they have a fundraiser every year. And we've had numerous of these people on the show. K9,
yes, only in New York, though.
You might have taken a couple too many blows, K9. You got to get
you. Oh, no, it took a champ to wake me up. It was a champ that woke me up. Mr.
Yeah.
Frank Tate. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when he talk, you listen.
Well, I mean, hey, man. Like I said, we did our thing in the ring. Now we have to do our thing out the ring. We got to take
Absolutely.
Our brothers, man. Make sure our brothers are taken care of.
Because
when it's all over, you only live one time.
Yeah.
And if you don't, like I said up in New York, if you better wake up, people. You better realize a lot of things are happening in the world today that hasn't happened in a long time. So I hope you guys wake up and smell the coffee because something is about to happen.
Yeah, what's about to happen?
Man,
tell me. I want to know ahead of time.
I don't know what it is, but you know what? We got to get prepared. We got to respect one another, number one. We don't do that.
Absolutely.
As Americans, we don't do that. We don't respect one another.
Right.
So we have to start there. You know, it ain't all about no black and white thing. It's about respect.
That's right. Hey, I agree.
It's about respect, and it make the world a better place. All the stuff we have for a reason, all these hurricanes and all this water coming in and wind blows and torque, you know, it's a sign. Wake up.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Hey, I will say preach, my brother, but I don't want to be making like I'm being funny, but you tell me like it is.
Yeah, man, we having hurricanes in places that shouldn't even happen. On the East Coast, New York, and all of the water shoot up at there. You know, that stuff like that.
Yeah.
That stuff happened on the West Coast, you know. But no,
exactly.
It's happening everywhere now.
Yeah. Hey, man, it keep raining here, man. I'm talking about, man, I couldn't even see on the freeway just now. I'm talking about raining, man. That rain is hitting for real.
Yeah, I just hope everybody wake up and smell the coffee. We got to love one another. You know, America is America. We're the greatest country in the world. But right now, the way things going, we got to love one another. You know, we got to turn this thing around.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You're right, champ.
It's going to take people like ourselves to do that. You know,
that's right.
If we get five or six people to listen to us, hey, that's a start. I don't have to have millions. I just need a start. Because if five people listen, out of them five, somebody going to say something. hey, man, I heard Frank Kate on the radio talking about this and that and that and this. Hey, man, we better get this together. You know, that's all we need. Yep, that's all we need.
Mr. Tate, what do you think about the advent of social media between, you know, the time when you were in the ring in 1984 and the broad spectrum that you see it reaches today?
Well,
like you mentioned Ring 10 and all the different organizations that
some
that are
people
out
don't know how to deal with social media, man. They just get outrageous with it, you know. Social media is for you for me, social media will be for me to enhance my business. Well, hey, folks, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. It ain't to get on there and say, hey, I do this today, I went to my granddad today, and I'm going to California tomorrow, and this and that. Well, damn, all you're doing is telling your business. You know, people taking social media and running with it. You know, if somebody wanted to rob me or do something to me, I get on there and say, I'm going to get ready to go to California to bond. See, they know I'm going to let my house. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell people your business. Social media is just for things
crazy.
We need to be waking up about in the world. Not your business, not your personal business.
Yeah, man, I just saw last night on social media, you know, not trying to hope y'all ain't about to eat no food or nothing, but man, this guy was at Comerica Bank, Comerica Park, working for Little Caesars, and he spit on a pizza.
See, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's nasty, it's crazy.
All that foolishness, shenanigans, you know. No, we need positive stuff, man. We got these kids watching this stuff. Now they all, you know, they got kids on there acting like they grown and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's crazy. You know, I don't know. What do you think about it? Give me your point on social media.
Well, yeah, this man.
That should be used, like you said, but it's to be used constructively. I mean, you know, you have
right.
You have things that causes that need to be funded. For instance, the hurricane victims down in North Carolina, things like
right.
that. It's not to be you know, necessarily exposing your personal business, but to network with people that you have something in common with. And maybe you can reach a common goal.
Man, I think it'll change this whole world around. You know, this stuff is out for a reason for people to get on here and do what exactly what's going on. Somebody was looking for this to happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, when they came out with all the social media and cameras on phones, all this stuff was for a reason, man. Come on, think about it. And people just didn't think of that. Well, let's see how this. Let's see how they acted. Let's see what's going on with this. No, when they came out with them big battery phones and phones, you can knock a dough down. It was all right, but then when they got these phones with cameras and you can put yourself on there and tell everybody, let everybody know what you act, it just changed the whole world, man. It changed the whole world.
Right. It's called exactly technology. Yeah, I mean, man, just think
and
about
our kids today, man, it's just crazy. You know, we had as much killing and shooting in schools. We never had no shooting in schools in Detroit. I come from Detroit. We ain't had nothing like this. These kids today, they going shooting up in school and shooting everybody, killing everybody. We ain't have all that. And I come from a tough city. Down here in the South, these jokers walking in schools just shoot people. No reason at all. Because they get their hands on a gun. I don't know if it's that carrying thing. You can carry a gun. I don't think it had nothing to do with that. It's just that the world has changed, Barry. You know, if you want to find somebody, all you got to do is look on social media. You'll find them. You'll find them. If you want to know something about somebody, just look on, just go to search it on Facebook. I guarantee you'll find them. Instead of having a prison number, they gave us a Facebook number. Think about it. They ain't got to give you no prison number no more. They can just give you a real number, your name, and put you on Facebook.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that we have given up so much privacy, but yet and still we want, you know, I don't know how that really works. You know, you want everything to be free and open, but yet and still you want to maintain. It's kind of hard to do that when everything is an open book and can be opened, you know, at the speed of light, like you said. You know, just Google, Facebook. You know, you can find anyone you want.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's a way of finding somebody. Trust me. If you want to find somebody, all you got to do is go on Facebook. Oh, they going to let you know where they at. You ain't got to search out. Just put their name in there. They going to pop up.
Do you think that boxing has lost some of its sanctity due to the recklessness of some of our stars or the people that we want to portray as our stars, you know, such as, you know, Adrian Broner, some of the guys that have a lot of negative things to express.
Well, that has a lot to do with it too, but I think boxing has gone down for the simple fact it's not boxing anymore, it's business. It's business, man. It's all about business. It's all about the business. Back in the 80s, when Hunter, Ray Lennon, Marvin Hagler, all them guys, them jokers fought. They fought, man. That's why the 80s, ain't nothing going to do the 80s when they cover boxing. But this stuff today, you can pick and choose who you want to fight. You can fight your teammate, all that kind of stuff. Man, please, that's business. Look at all this. Triple G and Canelo. That's a draw. The simple fact is because Canelo is easy to promote more than Triple G. I mean, come on. Think about it. Who do you think was going to win that fight? You might watch their fight again. They'll probably fight again. Let him 2 or 3 more years go by and get out. Let him get up a little older. Next time, they'll knock him out. That's how this is going. That's exactly how it's going today. It's just it's going down because of that. And then Adrian Jones and getting on that, talking about do this, I could do that. That's why and the Benjamins and this and that. Come on, man. That ain't how boxing used to be. If you go back and look at an interview from a guy back in the 80s, to look at an interview of a guy that's in these 2000s, you'll see the big difference. It's crazy. They say what they want. Half of them arrogant, you know, think they're on top of the world when you're not. You know, it's hurting boxing more than anything. I hate to say it, I love the sport. I love it, man. I mean, I love it to death. But it just... You got some people that could just ruin it.
Yeah, a lot of these promoters are ruining it. Promoters, managers, matchmakers, networks.
You know, and I'm not mad at Floyd Mayweather. He just, Mayweather, he took it and learned something from somebody and ran with it. If I can make this money for myself, I'm going to do that. I don't need no promoters. Why am I going to let the promoter make all this money when I can make it myself? I don't blame him. I'm not mad at him, not at one bit. You can't.
You're right.
Man, The man took somebody, listened to somebody, took their advice and ran with it and did what he did. And it worked. That's all I can say. Can't be mad.
You see a lot of these young fighters now, you know, starting their own promotion companies and being able to promote themselves. Do you think that's a good thing, or do you think that that's, you know,
well, it don't work for anybody if you don't have a big name yet. You can't do that until you have a big name, until your name generates that kind of money. How you gonna promote yourself if you can't generate that kind of money? You know what I'm saying? That'll be hard to do. You know, Mayweather locked in with the MGM grand, and shoot, the rest is history. When he locked in with them, and everything that come out them gift stores with Mayweather's name on it, ain't got a percentage of it. I mean, come on, man. I mean, come on. He did it. I saw it for myself. I'm like, wow. I mean, this man got stuff in the gift store, took all their stuff, all the stuff that they normally sell in the gift stores, and put all in with the stuff in there when they fight. Come on, man. That's unreal. I never, as long as I've been going to fights to Las Vegas, seen nobody went in the big fights do nothing like that. Mike Tyson, Ray Leonard, Hearns, none of them guys. When I went to Mayweather's fight in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, they took all their merchandise off out of the stores and so, and nothing but his stuff in there. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. I've seen this for myself. Now, that's some hell of a promotion, man.
Oh, yeah. You can't get nothing in the MGM Grand without their permission, believe me.
No, he did that. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Every time he fought there, he did that, and he did it right. He didn't do it all sloppy. He didn't do it arrogant. He did it the right way. You know, and know what, man? Vegas wasn't gonna say no because they made money too. They made plenty of money up and down that strip, all the hotels and the clubs and the cabs and all them people. They made money. Every time Mayweather fought there, they made money.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, you know what? MGM, you know, in Vegas, they even put some money into some of these funds for the retired fighters or fighters that are struggling because they done made a lot of money.
But it's
going
to take people like Mayweather to do stuff like that. See? Or it can take somebody like you and I to do something like that.
That's true.
We can do it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I just heard a story just the other day about them. They called a fighter to help him. He got mad because they paid his rent. Because his sister told them that, you know, he was behind 3 months on his rent. So he gets mad at the organization because they go and pay his rent. Now, that's unselfish right there. I guess, you know, he's so, his ego's still high that he didn't want nobody, you know, no help. Something wrong with him. You know, they paid his rent anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you know anybody that's down on their luck that need help, man, let me know. And I will get in touch. I know the president myself. I'll call him and let him know that this person needs help. You don't have to explain.
Okay.
I'll just tell me who it is, and I swear they'll be getting help.
All right.
Yeah, cause it's just something we need to do.
Well, you know what? I have
393 predominantly black families right now in North Carolina that are in need of fresh water and supplies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I call them to see if they do stuff like that because I don't know if they just do boxers, professional boxers, or if they doing corporate America. I don't know. But I could call and ask him. I sure don't have a problem with that. And what I could do is call my band back in the room. If they say yeah or nay on that.
Well, I will definitely be in touch with you, sir, and we hope we welcome any and all help we can get for these families that are victims of the hurricane.
Yes, sir. Okay, God bless you guys. Thank you for the interview, and you guys have a good night.
Thank you, sir. You have a great night.
Right. Yeah, thank you, brother. Mr. Frank.
All right, bye.
My dog.
A dog in the house.
Right.
All right, baby. All right.
All right, my brother. Tell your brother I said what's up.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, brother. Cheers.
That was the great Mr. Frank Tate, our 1984 Olympic gold medalist, and it's always good to see a fighter that's doing well and has his full compliments about him and is able to go out and help others. Nothing better. K9, you talking about the rain up there, so you're finally getting the effects of the rain up there, huh?
Man, yeah, we are. Man, it rained hard yesterday. It rained hard today. We was out there running in the rain. You know, my son, he hitting bleachers in the rain, sprints. You know, the rain ain't going to stop us, though. You know, over here, Team K9, we going to go in the rain, the ice, the snow. We gonna play in the fire. We gonna keep it moving. But it's like Frank Tate was saying, there's something strange going on right now with all this different stuff happening, hurricanes, rain, and all this. You know what I mean? It's crazy nowadays, super crazy.
Well, some people want to believe science, some people don't want to believe science, but hey. We are, it's a different time that we're going through, but it's a good time in some ways. We're seeing more women that are taking their place in boxing. Miss Barrios, her brother has been on the show, Mario, and Selena's is actually a champion in her own right. I believe she's a five-time I know she just won. She's another one of those San Antonio fighters. She just won a title on the 22nd. On the 22nd, she just had a fight in Corpus Christi. K9, you mentioned taking a step out here into the women's realm. What has been your experience training these women and their dedication?
The experience I have from training Sarah Khan, is that, when a woman wants something, they want it. And they going to train hard. They serious about what they do. I come to find out that when I train a female for the first time and I train a young man or a boy or an adult male for the first time, the women seem to catch on faster. With the kids, I can't train a little four-year-old boy because he's not ready. Average four-year-old boy is not ready. But I could train a four-year-old little female, young lady, and she's ready right away. I mean, she just catch on. Like my daughter, 4 years old, man, she's sharpest in the house. So, women, I mean, God really blessed them. I mean, when they put their mind to something, they can do it at a younger age than a male. And, it's something about a woman. And when they serious about something, they can accomplish it. I mean, they're doing something, everything that men are doing, and they're doing it on a high level. Some of them can do it better than some of these men. I mean, look at the WNBA, MMA, just some of everything. Women are doing it as much as men are doing it, you know. I mean, you know, and you got to take your head off to a woman for that. And boxing for females, I think right now is at an all-time high. I mean, I understand when Christy Martin was fighting, you know, she fought on Mike Tyson in the car, so she got a lot of exposure from that. But it was just only a few females that you can really, you know, name and say, okay, women boxing is, you know, was hot. Whether, you know, it was Christy Martin, it was Ann Wolf, it was Layla Lee, Riker, and that was basically about it. Maybe one other female. But now when you come now in these days, 2018, you know, you fast forward, and now you have Selena Byers, you have Clarissa Shields. I mean, you got a lot of them. What's the other young lady? She's won more belts, and she done moved up in more weight classes and won more belts than anybody. You just have a lot of ladies now, so a whole lot of ladies. I mean, you can go on and go on. Well, I can't keep up with all of them. There's so many of them. But the Hammer, the Christina Hammer. I mean, it's just a lot of them. It wasn't that many like it is now. So I think female boxing is like at a real high right now. And you know, and then I never saw, you know, and you know, back then women headlining. You know, you had you know, Clarissa Shields. She's headlining Showtime again, I think, for the third or fourth time in November, and that's unheard of. But like Melissa said last week, though, you know, you still have to give credit to, you know, the ones that started and paved the way for the females today. I'm happy.
I understand, you know, where all that's coming from, but do you think that with all of the hype that's coming up with these fighters that maybe we should also start paying them on an equal basis? Maybe we should start giving them 3-minute rounds. Maybe we should make it a little more competitive.
Well, you know what? My take on that is if you're a champion, whether you're a male or a female, you shouldn't get paid no less than a certain amount. There should be a certain amount for a woman, a certain amount for a man. I wouldn't care. You know, you accomplished something that not most people will accomplish in a boxing game or in the boxing world, where you have won a world title. It was one point in time that boxing was the biggest sport in the world. Everybody and their mama and their daddy and cousin wanted to be a boxer. I mean, times have changed, but the money is at an all-time high. So with the money being at an all-time high, I mean, Mayweather and McGregor made almost $1 billion together. Well, they made more than $1 billion together. And all that money that's being generated, and even with these female fighters are generating a lot of money now. And then you got females that's coming from MMA that's bringing their brand to the sport of boxing. And then they're on Showtime now. They're on HBO now. They win all these world titles now. I mean, they should get paid. I don't know if you can pay them the same amount as a man until they start going 3-minute rounds. And I don't know the viewers, how many viewers. It depends on, you know, how many. They need to calculate how many people are actually watching a woman's bout versus watching a man's bout. And you kind of go from there. But at the same time, some people are against seeing a woman in there hitting another woman. You know, because, you know, they're used to seeing men fight, you know, and they're not really, you know. I don't know what kind of audience a woman, you know, has versus a man. You know, a woman was like, she's more, you know, in these days and just in life, she was more of the nurturer. She was the one that, oh, baby, it's going to be all right, support the man. And, you know, and the man was the one to go fight and go get the money and fight for his wife and his family. But, you know, it's a new day and era. Times have changed. So a woman can do what she want to do. You know, last time I looked, God gave us all free will. And so if a woman choose to fight and she got it in her blood and she good at it, she can do what she want to do.
And you know, that's my take on it. You know what I mean?
We have Mr. Barrios in. Selena couldn't make it tonight, but Mario, I want to bring you in on this because you're a publicist. And what do you think about this concept of women only being able to fight two-minute rounds according to HBO? And, I mean, if a woman has that type of draw, shouldn't she be, you know, equal pay for equal time? I mean, we all train under the same conditions. We all get prepared under the same conditions. What do you see? Where do you see this going?
Am I on?
Yes.
You guys hear me? Okay. As far as that, I agree, man. I think it should be three-minute rounds. These girls are doing exactly the same thing as the guys. In MMA, they do five-minute rounds. So it's not like combat sports is doing anything different in that world on the MMA side. So I don't see why we can't do that on the boxing side. You know what I mean?
Now, I agree, but, I mean, how do you get a network like Showtime or HBO to take that step forward? I mean, is there a precedent for it? I mean, other than MMA?
Well, the difference is MMA has, like, a league where, you know, it's UFC or Bellator, and they kind of set their own rules. So they got their own, you know, people, you know, pushing their standards. In boxing, it's a little scattered, so there's nobody really taking the issue by the horns and pushing it through, you know what I mean? But I agree, man, it needs to be three-minute rounds.
You know what I feel about women's boxing. I feel like it's gonna take some more people, some more female fighters like Layla Ali, Christy Martin, or Clarissa Shields. They need more recognition. They need more people that can come through the front door that they can just be able to relate to, or they can keep the brand going. Like when you talk about male fighters, for instance, you got Sugar Ray Robinson. You can never not talk about Sugar Ray Robinson when you talk about the greatest, or Muhammad Ali. It's just so much. There's so much you can talk about when you talk about male boxing, and women need, you know, they need to be branded better. Because, you know, like, they need to be in commercials. They need to be getting endorsement deals. They need – and that would actually help them
right.
If they was in commercials and they was getting, you know, a lot. If they was up front, you know what I mean? People were seeing them in the front versus, like, you know,
right.
Way around the corner somewhere, you know?
Well, I think the style of the fighter matters as well. Perfect example. Let's look at the perfect picture example in the UFC. Ronda Rousey, she was stopping, submitting people in like the first round, blew her up. She's on all these high profile cards, and she was basically knocking people out with submissions. So when you got a fighter like that is delivering what the fans want to see, which is a knockout, which is a submission, whatever on that side, you know, then you got a viable commodity. And fighters like Selena, who are knocking people out, who are throwing a lot of punches and going to war, so to say, are those type of fighters that the fans want to see. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
I think it has to do with the fighter as well. You know,
yes.
Let's just take the top one. You got who's fighting on TV? Clarissa Shields. She's a gold medal winner. Is she knocking everybody out? No, but she, you know, she's popular. She's giving it her all. She's bringing women's boxing up. Amanda Serrano is a good fighter. You know, but the fans want to see. They want to see blows, man. They want to see people get hurt. The hurt game, And
absolutely.
I don't know. I think if Selena was on TV, it would change a lot. She could really, she would be able to push the woman's paydays up because she has that type of style. And they only come around every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They, like I say, they need more branding. They need, you know, they need more endorsement deals. They need more, they need some commercials. They need, you know, they need a spokesperson. Layla Ali could do a whole lot for the sport of boxing if she got out here and talked about it. They need a union. And, you know, another thing that could help them, if they had their own league, they could have a female boxing league where they can draw more attention. They can get more attention,
yeah.
Put more attention on them.
A tournament or something like that, you know.
Absolutely.
I think
the pool
of good fighters, too, you have to, you know, it's not a deep pool to choose from. So we got to change that. And that starts from the amateurs on the way up. And I think it's starting to change. So, if we can get, you know, like in Mexico, they really do well. A lot of the fighters that are real popular over there, they're doing well over there. You know, it's just got to transpire into the States. And I think we're taking baby steps towards that. You know what I mean? But they got to be exciting fighters, man. You can't just throw somebody in there who's going to be pitter-patting and not hitting with any power, you know what I mean? So you got to find that Ronda Rousey of boxing, the one that's not going to be that, the one that's electrifying coming off the TV screen. And I believe Selena is that person. Because I'm telling you, man, she's just got that charisma that you can't put your finger on, you know what I mean, that people want to see that stuff, you know what I mean?
I just, you know, it's like, for instance, I believe, like, when it comes to how many males want to be boxers and how many female wants to be boxers, I think that plays a big part, too, on why so many men out here boxing versus women. I mean, you know, just think about it. I got a son and a daughter. You think I want my daughter to be a boxer? I'm not saying, hey, babe, you're going to put these gloves on and knock somebody out. I'm telling that to my son, but I'm not telling that to my daughter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in amateurs, I mean, I see a lot of female fighters in the amateurs that are good. You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of cultivating it from the fear system, which is our amateurs. So, you know, as they continue to grow, you know, that's what it's going to take. You know, they gotta. You know, I think it first starts with getting seen on TV. You know what I mean? Because once you're on TV, and then from there, it's like, okay, are you worthy for these endorsement deals? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You have marketability, and you got to be able to be electrifying in the ring. You know what I mean? To wear a combination,
exactly.
even in the male side. So to the women, even double whammy. But I think if you can get that one fighter, it'll change everything. You just need one. Look at Ronda Rousey. She's
exactly.
Changed the game for everybody. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Floyd Mayweather, he changed the game for everybody. And Floyd's not like a knockout guy, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys like that change the game and bring paydays, you know?
Yeah.
Just like Marquez and Israel Vasquez and all those guys, and they're having those Barrera, Morales, those guys changed the game for the smaller weight. You know what I mean? So now we've got smaller weight guys making big money. So
yeah, exactly. But like you just said, like you just said though, with the Ronda Rousey is one in a million. Though, see, we need more of those in the female boxing. I mean, she killed the game, but we need more Ronda Rouseys. We need a lot more. One thing I can say, and I believe you agree on it, and I believe that James will agree on, is that the competition is a lot better than it was in the '90s, or maybe in the late '80s. You got more females that can actually fight. It's tick for tack now versus it used to be a time where it was a one female and she was windmilling and the other female was throwing bombs.
Right. Like Ann Wolf. Man, we need more Ann Wolfs in the world. And it's funny because Ann Wolf is really good friends with Selena and they come from the same little world of just, they just throw blows, you know what I mean? They throw power punches.
Yeah.
And they know how to fight. They know how to fight. They know how to conserve their energy. They know how to cut off the ring. You know, sometimes it takes a couple of shots, but you know, it's just how it is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's the fight game. But, yeah, man, I think I think it'll happen, man. All they need is that opportunity. I'm really pushing for Selena to get up on that big stage to be a TV fighter. You know what I mean?
Do
you think we need more of the mainstream managers? I mean, like, you know, we saw Barry Hunter. He just had Franchon Cruz. She won a title. But do you think that, you know, maybe we need to see some more of these mainstream managers, you know, perhaps pick up some women fighters that would also make them a little more marketable?
Well, I would imagine that would be a good solution, but the managers, you know, they're all about making money. So, you got to invest. Like, say, for instance, Selena's manager. They're investing a lot in her, you know, because they really believe she could be a star in the sport and garner a big payday for women. So they are, you know, trying to push her. I mean, she just fought at the Houston Astros AAA field last Saturday. You know, that's the Houston Astros. So, you know, starting to bubble up, at least for her. You know, I think a fight with her, Michaela Meyer, Katie Taylor got some big following. Amanda Salerno, like all four of them right there, that's four really good fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All four of them right there would be a good start to kick off this woman boxing, you know, movement to get garner the big paydays. Of course, Michaela Meyer's the top ranked. You know, they're just with separate promoters. It's the challenge is getting everybody on the same page.
Trust me. Hey, listen, once the money get right, everybody going to come aboard. Believe me when I tell you. See, with the money not being there, you know, people are not so quick to want to run into a female. You know, but if the female, if somebody offering them big time money, or the trainers going to come, the managers will come, the network's going to come, all of that. I think the governing bodies who are sanctioning these belts, they should do more for the females, you know, because they walking around with your belt that they fighting for. They can do more for these females. Put them on their website as the first person. Show videos. They make a lot of money off boxing. Period. So when you make all that money off of Floyd Mayweather, invest that money into these females. If you gonna sanction them to fight, and you gonna have them fight for your belt, you know, do more for them.
I mean, it's really an untapped market. If you just had, like, a contender type of a deal with just females, I think it could be very, very interesting. I think you can garner a lot of eyeballs if you have the right formula. Somebody just has to – somebody with money got to invest in the female boxing world. The WBC really supports women's boxing. So, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of getting somebody to get behind it and just say, okay, here's the female fighters. We're looking for the best action fighters, the ones that are going to give it their all and electrify the fans watching. That's what you need. You need good TV fighters. You know what I mean?
Yep. Now, one thing that could hurt female boxing is if a man get hurt in the ring and end up in a coma, end up getting killed or dying in the ring, you know, first thing they're going to think about is, oh, we can't let that woman that like that. Nothing can happen to a woman like that. Because if that happened, it'll really put a dent on the sport. People be like, that's why she shouldn't be boxing. That's why I wouldn't dare let my daughter box. So, you know, you got to be real precautious when it comes to especially the women boxing and fighting. And another thing I do agree with is that they should do 3-minute rounds. Because whoever got them fighting 2-minute rounds don't realize that it's harder and, it makes for more of an entertaining fight going 2-minute rounds because they're going to be fighting. But 3-minute rounds, I think, is better for their brain because they have to pace themselves. They won't just be going out there throwing bangs, throwing punches and bombs and stuff and just banging.
Right. Yeah,
and they got
I agree. To pace I think, I agree, you know. And I think maybe with 3-minute rounds, you're going to see more fights end a little bit earlier because, you know, 3-minute rounds, like you said, they're pacing and stuff, but in those later rounds, you know what I mean? It's you might see more knockouts maybe late, which might be a good thing, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're going a little hotter, getting a little tired more, they're pushing themselves late. And I mean,
yeah,
I think is
yeah,
isn't
you
there
have
some states that do 3 minute rounds, or is it like that though throughout the whole United States?
Yeah, but I don't listen. How is you going? I don't see how you can even let these females fight 2 minute rounds anyway. I mean, if you want to, no, it's hard for a female to say she's the best fighter in the world. I'm talking about when it comes to men and women. When she's only fighting 2 minute rounds, if you want to give them a chance, give them, let them fight 3 minute rounds. They like to fight 3 minute rounds against a boy or a man. She's fighting a 3 minute round against another female, so that's fair and square.
I think that has to go through like legislation and all that stuff, which is a very yeah. uphill battle. But I don't know, man. I don't know how they would ever change that. You know what I mean?
Man,
regulations are so strict. They're so
that's HBO and Showtime policy there. That would have to be
okay.
policy change as far as they're concerned.
Okay. Because you look at the WNBA and the NBA, they still go 4 quarters. The females go 4 quarters in a basketball game, and so do the men. So what's the difference between that and boxing?
I mean
maybe.
Yeah, I think somebody needs to put up a poll, you know what I mean, on a popular website and just let the fans vote, you know what I mean? Just so we can at least show, hey, man, the fans want to see this. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I think it's more hazardous to go 2 minute rounds than to go 3 minute rounds. Because you got to hurt. You only got 2 minutes to win that fight or to win that round. So you're going to be throwing so many punches and trying to kill somebody in 2 minutes because you know the bell about to ring in a minute. And like, man, you down. So in the next round, you like, man, you better get that back. Hurry up. The bell about to ring. Hurry up. Bow, 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 bow. Ding, ding. You
right.
down, girl. You got to go out there. You know, it's like a hurry up. You know, you got to rush it. You got to do it. You know. I'll let them think. You know, women are good at thinking.
Yeah. I just think, too, like I said, I can't say it enough. You got to have that fighter that is electrifying on TV. You know what I mean? Somebody that's throwing a lot of punches, hard shots, just you know, just going for it. You know what I mean? And doing it in a good way, not just all wild and all crazy, you know what I mean? Just, you know, good, like, you know, a good brawler.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. I mean, whether male or female, I mean, we just got to do a better job, period, when it comes to, you know, the sport of boxing. I'm talking about, you know, even when sparring, a lot of females, you know, they spar hard. A lot of men, they spar hard. But we need to know what's going on in the gym because a lot of fighters, and I'm really talking about men, because I don't think women get their head beat in the gym as much as a man do. The men be in there, man, be knocking each other's heads off, man. And then they go into a fight and they barely get hit with a punch and then they're out of there. They're going to sleep.
Yeah, they leave everything in the gym.
Right, a lot of females, exactly, that's true. A lot of females, and I was just at the gym not so long ago, and you had the females in there, they weren't sparring with each other because it was different in weight classes, so the females were sparring against men, and the men are not going to hit the women like, you know, like they in there with another man, so that's, you know, that's actually good for them versus another man in there with another man. It's macho versus macho.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of damage.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So
yep, the world's
going to
see
good.
Selena on a big stage soon. I really believe Selena's right there on the doorstep of getting on Showtime or one of these networks where everybody will be able to see her. And I think that's going to change a lot because she throws blows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I was watching her earlier today. I had to, you know, look her up, you know what I mean? I told James, man, send me the correct spelling of the name. And, you know, and of course he sent me the wrong spelling of the name, but I figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, boxing's great, man. It's thriving right now. We got Showtime putting on a whole bunch of shows. Fox. We got the ESPN app. I mean, boxing is so big right now, dude. It ain't going nowhere. We're gonna have a ton of boxing. So the sport is thriving, man. We love it.
Absolutely. Eddie Hearn with that DAZN.
Yep. DAZN. Yep. Got Top Rank with the ESPN Plus. You know, Heyman doing things with the PBC, you know,
absolutely.
Showtime. It's just getting
bigger. Exactly. Yeah, K9 Box Globe Promotions, we on the rise.
Yes, sir.
Now, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that fight? You know, definitely before we get you off the phone, I want to ask you about that Anthony Joshua fight, Anthony Joshua and Russell Covington. How do you feel about that fight? You think that was a good fight?
To be honest, dude, I didn't see it, dude. I was busy with my family. I heard they said he had the flu or something, but he knocked him out, right, in like the seventh round or something.
Yeah, he did.
I wasn't able to see it because I can't give an analysis on it. But, you know, Tyson Fury versus Wilder is going to be an interesting fight. The winner of that fight, man, they got to get those guys in the ring now, man. Now's the time to really sell it and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's now. You can't wait, man. You can't do Mayweather-Pacquiao where you waited too long.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm glad you just said that. That's what kind of hurt boxing a whole lot. And back in the day, fighters was fighting each other right away. They didn't wait so long. They didn't wait at all. Now these fighters are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and that's hurting boxing. People be like, man, I'm going to turn this right here, MMA. You can just watch two guys that don't got no names, no big names, and they killing each other. And they want to see blood.
Yeah,
they want to see blood.
The best are fighting the best. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the key.
Absolutely.
You know,
but on a boxing end, I can understand as a boxer to a certain extent, because if you lose one or two or three fights, your career is basically over with. It's not like that in the UFC. You can lose 10 fights.
It shouldn't be like that. You know, you lost a few fights, it's over with. I mean, look at what we got this Sunday. We got Victor Ortiz fighting Brandon Rios. Those guys got a lot of losses. And this is going to be a good fight, dude. Everybody knows these guys like to throw blows. So I think it's going to do some good ratings. It's on Sunday. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be good, man. We got two guys that have losses, and they're going to be throwing blows, dude. Both these guys are going to go at it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be watching.
Hey, man, you still alive?
Yep. Good. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Don't forget, this Friday, Devin Haney on Showtime, the boys Raw. It's going to be a nice fight, man. Devin Haney is a really good fighter. Of course, we got Victor Ortiz and those guys on Sunday. Omar Juarez, the guy I had you guys on with a couple weeks ago, he's making his pro debut on that card. Those fights on that card, man.
Man, you sound like fight hype. You sound like Percy, boy. You breaking it down. Right.
Sir.
Yeah. We had Devin Haney on the show a couple of weeks ago. He had to actually remind me that, you know, we had met because he was down training here in Crumps in Detroit when he was a little kid. And I forgot, but then I thought about it. I said, I do kind of remember him. I remember the face.
You'll see him. He's a really talented young man. 19 years old, he's got his promoter license. I mean, the boy is really raw. A lot of good fighters coming up.
He's on promoter too now. You know, he promotes his own stuff.
Yeah, he's his own promoter. Mm-hmm. He's got his first fight on Showbox under his promotion.
Exactly. I heard too. He hired Joe Cortez.
Cortez is a consultant. Yep.
Absolutely.
Joe's a great asset to the team. He knows a lot about the game. I mean, invaluable what he brings to the table.
Absolutely. Hey, James, it sounds like you know more than you and me.
And Mario is going to spend for a long time.
Okay.
I just learned from all the people I've been in the game with, man. I've been around some really, really good people who taught me a lot. My good friend, Bob Canto, has told me a lot about this game. And, you know, I've just been around really good people, man. So I picked up as much as I can whenever I go, you know.
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, well, thanks so much for filling in for us tonight, Mario. And look forward to more of your views on it.
Okay, you guys
appreciate
take care,
you.
Man. Thank you, and God bless. I cannot
God
take
bless
care.
You, man. All right.
Bye, right, man. Bye.
All right.
Always good to talk to Mario.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah. I guess you ain't got no Twitter or no Facebook or nothing because you showed and say, man, shout it out. Normally you'd be like, man, shout out your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram or something in case the people want to follow you or troll you. Hey, I get. Hey, look, we talked to Frank Tate earlier. You ain't even say nothing about him, and you know he probably in the dinosaur day. He's like, man, ain't he ain't got no Twitter or nothing. Like, man, he won a gold medal in 1984. Like, man, he about your age, right?
Yeah, he.
I'm messing with you.
He retired Tommy Smith and the boys, but I want to get Percy on though.
Oh yeah,
Percy.
So
let's get Percy in. Percy is actually someone that I read a lot of his articles. Used to always has a lot of great things to say, and I want to thank you for being able to get him on tonight. So this is Mr. Percy Crawford. Percy, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Everything's good, man. No complaints.
Mr. Fight Hype. Well, what's the word for the day, Mr. Fight Hype? I know you got some new news to tell us. I'm quite sure you know Fight Hype did before boxing scene, before fight news. Mr. Fight Hype, what's going on?
Actually, man,
breaking
the craziest
news.
Thing I saw was the Victor Ortiz thing right before I came on.
Okay, what happened?
He was arrested. He actually turned himself in. And he's facing, I think he's facing three charges of sexual assault. One is forcible rape. Not good considering he was supposed to be fighting in a couple of days, man. That sucks for John Molina because obviously they got to either do something different or scrap the whole fight. So.
Okay, wow. Hold on, let me say this real quick. Doom, breaking news at the Dog Pound. Can you say that one more time, Mr. Fight Hype? Wow! So you got that before boxing scene and all that?
No, I think boxing scene actually posted something about it. I just saw it right on Twitter before I came on here that Victor Ortiz has turned himself in and he's facing multiple sexual assault charges. Yep.
So
you would think at the very least it puts the John Molina fight in major jeopardy, but I don't see no way. I think that fight is on the 30th, so I doubt that's happening.
Wow. They say first Bill Cosby, now this.
It's bad, man. Not good. Not good at all.
No, it ain't, man. No, it ain't good at all. You know, we were just talking about the young man, Mario, dropped the phone and said, man, we got Victor Ortiz from the fight. I'm quite sure he's still listening in right now. He just broke some news that he didn't know about.
Yeah, and it's crazy because a lot of people was looking forward to this fight because they thought it was going to be an exciting fight. I thought it was going to be an exciting fight. John Molina, one of those guys that usually can't be in a boring fight. Victor Ortiz, for what it's worth, I know he's quit and did some things and some fights, but, you know, while he's in live action, he hasn't really been in many boring fights, so a lot of people's looking forward to that fight. It's unfortunate, man, to see it go down like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, hey, you know, we've got a few days, and anything can happen, you know what I mean? You know, Al Heyman got some influence. I know he, I think he, what, he gave, he, he's their
advisor.
Yep. So, yeah, man, maybe he can pull some strings, especially if he didn't do it, you know. Get him out on a bond, you know, let him fight, you know what I mean? And, you know, he go to court after that, especially if he didn't do it. I mean,
no, it's boxing, man. I've seen crazier things happen, and at the very least, salvage the date with John Molina. I hate to see John Molina something he didn't do, so maybe they can get a late fill in if it's not Victor Ortiz, but. We'll see, man. Like I say, it's boxing. I've seen some crazy things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Man, so, man, hey, Mr. Fight Hype, Mr. Percy Crawford, tell us some of them late-night Mayweather stories, you know, how he goes and gets some McDonald's and Burger King right before he goes train, and he wake all everybody up and say, man, we about to go hit the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, man, he's knocked – I always say he's nocturnal. You got to be able to, you know, sleep during the day and be up all night when Floyd's involved. But one thing about Floyd, man, he does not cheat the process. I know he puts certain things out for people to see, you know, him eating fast food, him in the clubs. But when it comes to boxing, he is 100% committed to it. And I think, you know, some of the younger fighters see the lifestyle more than the commitment. And we got to get back to that. These guys got to get to, you know, I get it. Appreciate the money. Appreciate the lifestyle he's afforded to live. But also acknowledge and appreciate the process it took him to get there. And honestly, even when he got the money, he still never cheated that process. These young fighters got to take heed to that, man. It's a process. Yep. It is definitely a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, he don't want no one, you know, and why should he want anyone to be better than him? So, of course, he's going to show you, you know, the eating food and the hanging out because, you know, he wants you to get brainwashed into that and you'll never pass him up. So you got to be able to keep, you know.
Yeah, and he lives by what he says, hard work, dedication. You know, he says that a lot and it sounds cliche, but he lives by that. You know, it's one thing to put a lifestyle out there, but if you really know him and you really study him, it's a lot of work going to, you know, what he's doing, and it's worked so far. So,
right. So do you think he actually going to come back to fight Manny Pacquiao? And if he is, do you think it's because he need the money? Because, you know, I'm not sure he's a gambler and, you know, an admission to it himself. He made it, you know, he bet $1 million on the games and all that. So, you know, what's your take on that?
I think we see him in the ring again. I'm not sure Manny Pacquiao. I know he said he's going to do a tune-up fight in Tokyo against I don't know who. If he's prepping for Manny Pacquiao, I would think it's going to be a southpaw tune-up. On the terms of him needing money, I don't know if it's so much he needs money as much as it is who can turn down $100+ million. You know,
absolutely.
When they still have those kind of checks out there with your name on it, it's hard to turn it down, man. No matter the sport, no matter what you have to do to get that bag, it's hard to say no.
Sure.
So, you know, he might have gambling issues. He might have money issues. I'm not sure about that, but I know it's just hard for any man, any human being to turn down a six-figure payday to go do something you love to do and you've committed your life to do. So,
exactly. And you can go pick who you want to pick when you got that name and you never lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by him saying it's going to be in Tokyo, that lets me know they've offered him a lot of money to come over there and fight because he's been Las Vegas. Geez. You got to go back probably 10, 12 years, probably even more than that, longer than that since last time he's fought outside of Vegas. So Tokyo must be offering a nice check.
And he's never fought overseas before, ever. He's never fought overseas.
No, never fought out of the country or anything like that. You would have to go back to his Olympic days, I'm sure, where he had to travel and some tournaments and things like that. But as far as a pro, he's never fought outside of the country. For him to say he's going to do a tune-up in Tokyo, I'm sure it's a lot of money involved. And like I said, man, whether you're hurting for money or you're filthy rich, you offer any person $100 million, and you're probably going to run to the gym and start training.
Well, the last time we had a big fighter to go over to Tokyo, I'm not saying that it can happen, but anything can happen.
I know where you're going with
Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas, and Buster Douglas shocked the world. Could we see Floyd Mayweather going over to Tokyo and getting shocked by somebody from over there?
I swear, it's funny you say that, man. I told one of my homeboys, I said, Floyd might want to consult with Mike Tyson before he goes over to Tokyo. Now, I do think Floyd got a lot more discipline than Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson was having way too good of a time over there. But, look, man, at 41, if it's after January, I think his birthday is in January, he'd be 42. Anything can happen, man, when you reach that certain pinnacle, when you reach that certain level of inactivity, anything can happen. I would think he would pick a major, major soft touch for a tune-up, especially if the prize is to fight Pacquiao again. But, you know, you're talking a 40-plus-year-old fighter, man. Anything can happen.
That's right. That's right. Hey, James, you might want to go over there, man, get that couple of $1 million, man. Hey, James, where you at, man?
I ain't trying to go to Tokyo.
Hey, Floyd needs some easy work.
grab them boxing trucks, man. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. Oh man.
And you know something that you can equate into the scenario of Floyd never fighting out of the country, which he travels a lot and goes to other countries, so I'm sure it wouldn't affect him, but he's never fought on those time zones. He's never trained on those time zones and things like that. Especially, like I say, for a guy that's, you know, semi-retired, I guess you can call it that. All that can play into it, man. I think Floyd is always going to be Floyd in terms of the product he put out in the ring. But, you know, you got to factor in a lot of things when you're doing something completely new at the age of 41, 42 years old.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then you never know with him. You never know if he's really going to do it or not, because there's been always been talk about, well, Floyd's going to fight Conor McGregor in the octagon. And so he got in the ring like he was going to be fighting the octagon, and then that didn't happen. You know, talk that, you know what I'm saying? He's going to fight Oscar De La Hoya a second time after their first fight. Then, you know, Oscar tried to sign his daddy to be his trainer, and that didn't go through. I mean, we know Floyd loves attention. So, I mean, could it be he's just getting some more attention?
He's the master of grabbing headlines. And I think his timing says that was a headline grabber. He did it the Canelo Triple G fight weekend, Mexican Independence Day weekend. And, you know, he's a headline grabber. I believe when he did the Octagon stunt, that was before the first Canelo Triple G fight. So, he's definitely grabbing headlines. He's perfect at timing things perfectly. So
wow.
This may be that, but I definitely think there's a check out there for him, and I think this is probably along those lines of him trying to grab this check that they got out there for him. But it could be a headline grabber. Who knows with Floyd, man? It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, you know his team going to be pushing for that to happen because, you know, with Floyd being retired, they're not able to eat as much as they were eating when he was active. I mean, I'm talking about, the guys that's holding the legs and, you know, the personal trainers and not even the bodyguards. You know what I mean? He going places, but I'm quite sure they get an extra bonus check after his fight. And they don't get them juries like they used to get. Like, you know, the whole team might get some jury or might get a car. You know, when the money ain't coming in like that, you know?
No, without a doubt, man. When you got a guy fighting for six-figure purses, you scale back when you're not fighting for them six-figure purses. You might go from, and I'm not saying he did, but, I mean, it's nothing for him to go from five security to three. You know, two assistants to one. So, them fight purses definitely help out as far as entourage.
Exactly. And the Mayweather gym is not banging the same as when Mayweather's not in the gym versus when he's in the gym. See, if he's back in the gym training, getting ready for a fight, you know, then all eyes are on the gym. I mean, from fight hype being there, taking interviews to whoever, that'll help bring your noise and attention back to the gym. So then you'll start having fighters want to train again, because I'm quite sure.
Absolutely.
When Mayweather ain't in the gym, they ain't training like that.
Man, look, he's a smart man. He knows what to put out, when to put it out, and how to grab headlines. He's been doing that for a long time. And like you said, it just elevates every other aspect around him, from his gym to, you know, the media. Everyone is interested when Floyd Mayweather speaks. It's just we never know if he's pulling out a leg or not. So I guess we'll have to wait till closer to December to see if he's really going to do a tune-up in December or not, because – that's really, really short notice. I mean, we're in late September already, so I would think an announcement would have to come mid-October at the latest. Even if he just went over there and didn't do a press tour, you would think he would do it by mid-October. So time's ticking, and he's not getting any younger. So if he's going to do it, better now than later.
Yeah. So tell me, what fight do you want to see today? And who do you feel win a fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, and what was your outtake, you know, or on a fight, you know, the past weekend with Anthony Joshua? And
the fight I want to see most is, I know a lot of people want to see Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. I'm actually more on the side of Errol Spence, Keith Thurman. I do want to see Keith Thurman come back and get a few tune-ups or a tune-up, and then fight Errol. But to me, that's still a fight I want to see. I think Deontay Wilder beats Tyson Fury. Too athletic, too big, too strong. It's going to be a tough task. It's going to be a tough task. And I don't think Tyson Fury, and I understand him taking the two comeback fights because he was off for 2 years and you got to get your feet back wet. I just don't think he fought two guys that could prepare him for Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is a whole different animal when it comes to punching power, when it comes to athleticism. He hasn't faced anything like that in those two comeback fights. With Anthony Joshua, Povetkin, if I actually thought Povetkin looked good up until the knockout, I thought Povetkin definitely won some rounds. It's something with Anthony Joshua. I don't know if, and I've said this in the past, I don't know if the Vladimir Klitschko fight took something away from him. I don't know if it made him more cautious, made him a smarter fighter, but we definitely haven't seen the same Anthony Joshua pre-Vladimir Klitschko that we're seeing post-Vladimir Klitschko. I can't put my hand on why. Maybe it's just a matter of him securing money, you know, him knowing he don't have to fight like that anymore. But, you know, he was able to get Povetkin out of there, so I don't want to take that away from him. But it's still like he just seems a little more hittable to me and things like that. Yeah. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing if you're fighting Deontay Wilder in the near future, which I don't even know if that happens.
Exactly. So tell me this right here. And then, you know, James, I'm quite sure you got some questions you want to ask him. I don't want to hog up all the questions. Deontay Wilder once said that he actually wanted to see a body in a ring. And, you know, mm-hmm. I like Deontay Wilder. He's a cool guy. You know, we done met. He's pretty cool. And I don't believe he meant it. And even if he meant it, I mean, ain't that just like, you know, just talk? Like, for instance, I would say, man, I'm going to kill that guy when we fight. I don't really mean I'm going to kill that guy. And, you know, I think they told him he had to apologize and all that. What's your outtake on that? Well, I mean, how you feel about that?
I had no problem with him saying that. I can understand why people would take that the wrong way, but it's like you said, it's no different than, I mean, when I played football, I say, man, I want to hurt at least 3 people tonight. You know, if I did, but it's not like I went out to, like, dive at people's knees and things like that. It's just, this is the best way I explain Deontay Wilder and some of the things he says. Because he did an interview with me, and he made the comment that he wanted Dominic Brazil's son to come on stage so he can look the man in the eyes that's going to cripple his dad. Well, he got a lot of flack behind that. But these fighters take themselves to a dark, dark place when they're training for fights. They're not like the regular athlete, and they're definitely not like a regular person working a 9-to-5. They take themselves to a dark place. So you think of a guy like Deontay Wilder, who's knocked out every man he's fought. At some point or another, he's knocked out every person he's fought. He really has to take himself to a dark place. And I just think that's the dark place. When I spoke to him, he said, you know, Deontay Wilder's the nice guy that's going to meet you, hug babies, and shake your hand. The bronze bomber is the guy saying, I want a body on my record. So it's a switch. You know, it's a switch. And you see that a lot with entertainers and things like that. But, I mean, I don't know if people really truly understand the dark place that some fighters have to take themselves to prepare for war or for combat. And he's a guy. He's that guy. And the crazy part about it, he's dead serious when he says things like that. Like, he is truly, I don't want to say a mean, when it comes to the fight game, he's a nasty, nasty guy in a good way. Because, you know, it's no different. Mike Tyson said he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis' kids, and people ate it up. I just think we kind of, you know, we're getting a little more sensitive as a society. But Mike Tyson said worse, man, and we loved it. I love when Deontay Wilder says things like that. I love banter between fighters because that's the fight hype. That's what we want to see.
Exactly. It's like me being Cornelius versus turning into K-9.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, when K-9 meeting kids and things like that, he knows how to be Cornelius. But when he's in his opponent's face, he's balking and he's doing, you know, and he's doing the things to make me want to see this fight and make me interested in that fight. And I think part of that is banter from Deontay Wilder trying to draw interest. But I think a lot of that is he just takes himself to a dark, dark place.
It's entertainment.
At the end of the day, we all want to be entertained, man. We really do.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And that's what a lot of fighters are getting wrong at. I know my man's going to go a little too far with it, but Adrian Broner is an entertainer. he entertains the people, and they want to see him because they don't know what's going to happen and what he's going to say. And, you know, you don't know who's going to brush his hair. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. You know, you watching it. This is what fans got to understand. Fighters don't care if you watching them because you want to see them get knocked out or you watching them because you want to see them knock someone out. As long as you're watching them, that's all that matters. And I had this debate on Facebook with the Deontay Wilder thing with people saying, oh, it's bad for the sport. And I say, you know what's worse for the sport than Deontay Wilder saying he want a body? When I go on social media and I see all of these fighters are friends, that's worse for boxing than anything Deontay Wilder's ever said. I understand mutual respect, respecting your fellow fighter, but when I see all of these guys hanging out and all of these guys friends, especially guys in the same or around the same weight division, to me that would ruin boxing more than harsh words, because I don't necessarily think fighters got to hate one another to put on a good fight, but I definitely don't think you can be friends and, you know, buddy-buddy, and we're going to do this for the money and things like that, because that's how you get those fights where nobody want to hurt one another. I like that animosity.
Yep. You know what? You're right. I see a lot of TBC fighters, you know, good things. The ones I've been seeing lately are in different weight classes, but they're real cool with each other, you know. Al Henry has... When they fight, a lot of them be in the front row. All of them be right next to each other, and they be buddy.
Man, I'm telling you, go on social media, and it's like, man, I hope you guys never have to fight one another, because you guys have to drop the gauntlet. You guys have to drop this
Absolutely.
At some point.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. That's why I don't like to spar with certain guys in my weight class when I'm in a city, because you never know if one of them guys might call you out or you might have to fight one of them. So,
no, exactly,
cool.
And like I say, bro, it's crazy, because you can be cordial, you can be sociable. I'm not saying, you know, when you're in a room with fighters, you all gotta stare at each other like pit bulls. But all I'm saying is, I think friendships would ruin boxing way more than harsh words. I've seen K-9, you didn't have to get, you know, you and Ishe didn't have the most amicable thing, and you guys went out there and fought. But, you know, I didn't want to see you guys be friends leading all the way up to it. And I think that's what people, you know, especially when you're talking about two big heavyweights, man, I love that. I love that back and forth.
Absolutely. You know, Manny Pacquiao does that a lot. Like, he's, you know, because he's a Christian, good Christian guy, and he kind of try to stay in peace. But he's one guy that can get away with it, because when he in there, he trying to knock your head off.
He's all business in the ring, and I can handle that. I think some of these guys, like I think the Charlos, are business. You know, they'll hang out with guys, but when they're in the ring, it's business. It's just some of these younger guys, I don't know if they can hit that switch. It just becomes about, you're my homeboy, we can make money together, let's do it, as opposed to, we can do it, but we got to put on a show. And I think, you know, Deontay Wilder can separate that. He ain't got to worry about that from the Bronze Bomber.
Right. I think it's some skinny jeans. That's what I think. They too tight.
Man, you might be on to something, bro. You might be on to something.
Yeah, it's the lifestyle. It's the lifestyle.
Absolutely. It's like, bro, I don't want to catch the dog in none of those.
Exactly. Oh, no way. James?
Sure.
Your turn.
Yeah. Percy. Percy,
yo, what's up, my man?
I got to talk to you about the Canelo and Triple G. What was your thought? Did you think Canelo was Triple G was put in a situation where it was a no win situation for him?
You know, the crazy part about that question, I think if he was put in a no win situation, I don't think it was done intentionally, but I think he was put in a no-win situation by his own camp. I think if you looked at some of the things that Tom Loeffler, I think it's pronounced, and I think some of the things Abel Sanchez said, it backed him into a corner in a sense of, I believe a fighter can win off the back foot. I believe a fighter can win not going forward. But some of the things his camp said, I mean, Abel Sanchez basically said, give us judges that's going to judge for the guy coming forward. Well, the unfortunate thing about that is your guy went backwards for the first five, maybe even six rounds or five and a half rounds. So in that sense, they kind of got what they asked for. But, I mean, obviously you shouldn't – your judging criteria and your score shouldn't be off what a trainer said. But, you know, judges are human, man. They, you know, they read these articles. They read things. So, you know, it's not like these judges are locked in a room for a month of leading up into the fight where they can't read the internet and read social media and things like that. They kind of judged it off of Abel Sanchez's criteria, in my opinion. Now, with that being said, I think the word robbery should be thrown away. I even saw what Paulie Malignaggi said. You know, he had it 115, 113 for Golovkin, and it was a robbery. And I'm like, that's not a robbery, for one. But for two, two judges had it 15-13. One judge had it 14-14. That, no one was robbed. They all had the same score as Paulie, just the other way. And I think you can sit down and watch the fight with anybody and come up with those scorecards. So, I, you know, when I hear the word robbery, I think of one judge just being so far off base. Or I think of the decision being so far off base. I don't think that was the case with this fight at all.
Would you want to see three?
Man, I said as soon as the fight was over, I really don't want to see a part three. And the reason I don't, it was a great fight, don't get me wrong. But I think if those guys fought 10 times, at least 9 of those fights will look just like that. And we're not going to have a clear-cut winner. I mean, the only thing that would probably separate them is obviously Golovkin's 36, Canelo's 28. So maybe if they fought down the line, Canelo's age would prevail more and he could possibly stop Triple G or just separate himself more. But if they just keep fighting year after year, I think all these fights are going to look the same. We're never going to get a clear-cut winner. It's always going to be controversy. And I get to the point, James, man, sometimes where I see, like, rematches and things like that, to where I just want to see the both fighters go do something else. And I'm kind of to that point with Golovkin and Canelo. I just want to go see them do something else.
I agree. I think Triple G should probably move up a little bit, or, you know, like you say, fight somebody else. I think his best days might be behind him, though.
I do, too. And I think the way he fought symbolizes that. The way he fought symbolizes, you know, he may not be that 12-round killer no more where he can, you know, don't get me wrong, Canelo made him fight the way he wanted him to fight when he was going backwards. But I think a lot of that was just him almost pacing himself. I saw him get tired in the middle rounds and things like that. So, I think his better days is behind him. And that's natural. That's a normal thing. I know fans sometimes think you're dogging them or talking bad about them, but no, as we age, I mean, even if you sit at a desk for 40 years, you just don't go to work the same way. And I definitely is that for fighters.
That's right. Yeah, he hasn't been the same since the Daniel Jacobs fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, a lot of that came from just he finally stepped up, and there's no fault of his own. He just was in a weak middleweight era where he fought, you know, the Dominic Wade and Daniel Gills and guys like that. Danny Jacobs was a young, hungry guy. And we, you know, finally started to see a little bit of him being human in a lot of eyes. And then, obviously, Canelo brought it to the next level. And then Canelo brought it to the next level again of humanizing him a little bit. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow for fans when they're such fanboys of these guys. But, no, his level of opposition stepped up. He started looking more and more normal and regular and beatable and things like that. The same thing happened with Chocolatito when he moved up in weight. The same thing happened. I mean, you can go down the line of fighters that eventually that just happened.
Yeah, that's true.
And
I feel like he won a
first fight. And I have to ask you about Kovalev Alvarez. Do we give Alvarez enough credit?
You know, Alvarez, you just mentioned Triple G being put in a hard spot. Alvarez was put in a hard spot for the simple fact of Andre Ward's probably going to always get the credit for what's happening to Kovalev right now. That being said, I thought Alvarez showed tremendous heart because Kovalev really tried to pull it on, I think the round or two before Alvarez stopped him. And Alvarez, when the bell rung, took his two fists and kind of pumped his chest, and you could almost see it deflated Kovalev. So I think Andre Ward may have exposed some mental weakness in Kovalev, but all credit to Alvarez for digging deep and re-exposing it and making sure it stayed. Because, and, you know, I even give props to Kovalev because when I even heard the rumors of him taking an immediate rematch, I thought he was crazy, but he's going through with it. I don't know if I would have went that route, but maybe he knows something I don't know. But no, props to Alvarez. I do think he was kind of put in a bad spot, because the two guys that Kovalev fought after the Ward fights, those guys wasn't going to tell us anything. I knew Alvarez was a real challenge, and he proved me right.
I see why Donald Houston didn't fight him. This guy can fight for real, for real.
He could fight. I remember watching him fight John Pascal, and I was thinking, wow. The only thing I didn't like was after the Pascal fight, I remember asking a buddy, like, hey, what happened to that guy? And I'm not a fan of inactivity. You know, he had a little inactive stretch. But he's the real deal, and he's a gigantic light heavyweight, man. And that's, you know, he could be dangerous for a lot of people as long as he could stay at that weight class. But I don't know about an immediate rematch. And it looked like, you know, that's what they're doing, moving it from HBO to ESPN, which shows me HBO is all the way out of the Kovalev business, which, you know, that's the boxing game. You can say it's messed up, but, you know, that's the boxing business. You're hot one day, you're hot the next.
Absolutely.
Hey, Percy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on with us tonight. Make sure you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any stories that we can might have coming up out of Fight Hype.
Now, I appreciate y'all having me on. I'm at Mr. Fight Hype on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, just regular Percy Crawford. I'm on Instagram, at Mr. Fight Hype. I believe that's all my social media handles. I did some a really, really good piece with Freddie Pendleton, man. I don't know how many of these young school cats will know who Freddie Pendleton is. I know the dog know him. But Freddie Pendleton got stories for days, man. And unfortunately, Freddie Pendleton is one of these guys that, you know, once some fighters retire, man, the sport truly, truly just don't care about him. And it's he got some great stories. He got some unfortunate stories. But all in one, it's a great, great piece. And that'll be coming out. Part one already came out. It's going to be like probably a three-parter. But it's sad, man. It's sad that talk to some guy. He's in good spirits. He's training fighters and things like that. But, you know, he went to a local show in Philly and just kind of got done wrong. And he kind of just tells the story about what it's like to be a retired fighter. It's definitely not the glitz and glamour of being under the bright light. So that's a good one I have coming out. And I got another one with my man right here from my backyard, Regis Prograis, man, from New Orleans. He's a up-and-coming 140-pounder. He's in the WBSS tournament. Be fighting in New Orleans October 27th. This kid is hungry. I know where he comes from. And if you can make it out of the night ward, you can make it anywhere, man. He's going to be a hell of a fighter the years to come. So look out for that as well.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Okay, all day, my guy. All day. Got to have you again, man. And thanks
definitely
for the breaking news,
you know
too.
That. For sure, man. Unfortunate, man. I hate to see Victor Ortiz in that, and I hate to lose the fight. And like I say, more, you know, K-9, man. Seeing, you know, John Molina is the victim in this because he's probably going to miss out on the payday unless they can pull off a miracle. But, yeah, without a doubt, man, I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Oh, yeah. All right, my guy. Much love, man. Mr.
All right,
Fight
same
Hype.
To you, man.
All right, well, K-9, as usual, we come down to the end of the show, so you know what that means. It's time for K-9's Corner.
Yes, K-9's Corner. I think I want to talk about respect. You know, the great Aretha Franklin, who had a song called R-E-S-P-E-C-T, it was respect. And she was a woman that sung that song, and I feel like women deserve to get more respect. And in saying that, it makes me think about my wife, who is the manager of a two-time world champion. And she used to go talk to these promoters about me, getting me the right amount of money, the right fight. And it's like they wouldn't get her that R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I mean, because why? She's a woman. Well, she's a manager. And so what? She's a woman. She still deserves respect because, you know, she's in a sport where, you know, you get free will, and she deserves respect as a manager. I wouldn't care because she's a woman, you know what I mean? And people, man, K-9, his wife, she's just hard to deal with. It's like, why? Because she's saying the same thing that a man would say. She's supposed to say the same thing a man would say because she is a manager, whether she's a woman or a man.
And I just feel like women deserve more respect, especially when it comes to doing something that they're getting paid to do and they're in the contract to do it. So even with the women, they're not getting in the boxing. They're not getting enough respect. If a woman want to be a boxer and she's undefeated, she should get paid like she's undefeated. If she a champion, she should get paid as a champion. I mean, you know, we women are boxing now. Women are playing, they've been playing tennis. I mean, that young lady, she deserves more respect. The young lady that beat Serena Williams, you know. And I just feel like women should get more respect than what they do. They should get equal pay. And, you know, I mean, yeah, they should be respected, man. So shout out to Aretha Franklin for that song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And that was what all women should get. And not just men, but all women, too. We are equal in our own way. And great show, man. Great show, as usual. Thank y'all for tuning in at K9 Dog Pound with your man, Anil. And rain, rain, go away. Come another day. And pray for the people in North Carolina. Yes, indeed.
Most definitely. We want to start getting some help down that way very soon. So thank you so much, K9. Looking forward. Had some great guests tonight. Looking forward to next week's show, man. So tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And let everybody know how they can get in touch with the boxing gym.
Yeah, so we at Underdog Boxing Gym, Detroit, Michigan, 4892. If you're ever in town or you're from the city, come on and get you a few lessons and learn how to stick and move. And when I'm not jabbing James with the right hand and left hand, I'm at K9 Boxing on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Holla at your boy.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you next week. Right. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, I'll let you next week.
Where you go, K9?
What you say?
Say, where did you go?